Listening to sermons as we go about our days, driving around or doing our work, is a perfect reminder of our Lord's promises and of His mercies. This is the mission of Upper Room Media: to make the Word of God accessible to anybody and everybody.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. My beloved, today is the 29th day of the month of Tuba. So let me share with you something interesting about how the church divides the readings every single month. Now, as you know, in the Coptic year, we know that there's 365 days, but the way that the months are separated is that you have 12 months of exactly 30 days, so that gives you 360, and then there is a small month at the end of the year that is of 5 days. Now, because the month consists of 30 days, there are some times in a month where there are 5 Sundays. And a great example of this is the Coptic month of Tuba. Whenever there is a 5th Sunday, the church decided that whenever the 5th Sunday is celebrated, it's always going to be the same readings. It's always going to be the same readings that are read if ever the 5th Sunday comes up twice or 3 times throughout the year. And the reading of the gospel of the 5th Sunday of any Coptic month is always the reading of the gospel which we read today, which is John chapter 6, verses 5 to 14, which is when it is that we commemorate how it is that the Lord took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and He blessed them. The church calls this passage the passage of blessing. The passage of blessing because the Lord was capable of taking the offering of that little child and turned it into something that was an offering for a much greater number of people. And so because today is the 29th of the month of Tuba, we read this very specific gospel. But I want to bring to your attention the reading of the psalm that we read right before the reading of the gospel today. I want to read for you, from Psalm 96. Give to the Lord, O families of the peoples, give to the Lord glory and strength, give to the Lord the glory due to His name, bring an offering and come into His courts. Today, when Christian churches speak of offerings, everyone thinks that we want their money. Whenever a Christian church speaks of how it is that we ought to give to the Lord, to offer to the Lord, immediately people think that what we really want is for you to take out your checkbook and make out a big donation. But this is not the understanding of offering at all in our church. You see, in the earliest church where people prayed, wherever they gathered together, that became the church. The assembly of the people together was the reality of the church. Long before the people were even allowed to buy buildings and to raise them high and to make them as beautiful as the church that the Lord has given to us, long before they had utilities to pay and mortgages to pay, the people recognized that they were the church. But when the people gathered together, they needed things in order for them to be able to pray. Somebody had to provide the wine. Someone had to provide the wheat and the flour and the water. Someone had to provide the incense that would be offered. There are people who would come, and many of the people did not even have access to a Bible. And so someone had to be able to save up in order for them to get a Bible transcribed in order for their local church to have the Word of God to read together. There were people who would travel miles on end in order for them to come and pray a liturgy with a group of believers. Why do you think the church prays for the travelers? Have you ever wondered about this? We have a litany that is called the Litany of the Travelers, which we pray very often. Every single weekday liturgy, we pray for the travelers. Who are the travelers? Of course, we're praying for those who travel today, for those who have business trips, for those who are going away, for any which reason. But why was the reason for the church praying for the travelers to begin with? Because when they had begun to pray the matins offering of incense, there were people that were still coming on their way. There were people who packed their children and their belongings, and they would travel miles on end in order for them to be able to come and do what? Partake of the Eucharist. So let me share something else with you. In one of the responses that the deacon prays, he says, greet one another with a holy kiss. And then at the end of that very specific prayer, He says something interesting. What does he say? Offer, offer, offer in order. And he repeats it 3 times. In the early church, there was a very beautiful tradition. Today, we don't do it anymore. But what was the actual tradition? Whenever the deacon would say, offer, 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 the 2 deacons that were inside the sanctuary would take the covering veil that was on the altar and they would bring it out here and they would spread it with their hands. Does anybody know what the name of that big veil that covers the altar is called? It's called the prosphagin. Now, prosphagin is a Greek word that means 2 things. It means 2 things simultaneously. It means the offering and it means the covering. So today you see it being used as a covering. But the word for offering in Greek is prosphora, where we get the name prosphagin. The deacons would take the prosphagin and they would bring it out in the middle of the church and they would walk down the aisle and the people would give whatever they wanted to God. Some people would give oil. Some people would give water. Some people would give flour. Some people would give honey. Some people would give flowers. Some people would give whatever they could. And it was all gathered in this prosphagin. And it was brought in front of the sanctuary of the Lord and the priest would bless those things and say, Lord, receive from your people what it is that they offer you. Taban, today, because things are maybe a little bit more organized, the church says, give to the church and the church will take care of all of its needs. We will make sure that there is flour. We will make sure that there is wine. We will make sure that everything is maintained. But you will notice that we still kept this tradition on very special days. What happens until today on Good Friday? And this is still very alive in the Coptic church. In the Coptic church until today on Good Friday, what do? People bring roses. People bring incense. People bring vinegar and wine, and they still offer it, and we place it right in front of the icon of the crucifixion of the Lord. There is still this tradition of people remembering that they want to offer. But let me make something very clear. Offer as much flour, as much incense, as much wine, as much money as you want. But unless you offer yourselves, we have gained nothing. Listen to the psalm. Give to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Give to the Lord glory and strength. Give to the Lord the glory that is due to His name. The Lord is not looking for us to go bankrupt so we can make His home big and wealthy and beautiful. The Lord doesn't care about our money as much as He cares about our souls. The greatest offering that a human being can give to God is Himself. You see, we even say this about the way that parents treat children and husbands treat wives and wives treat husbands. We make fun of parents who say, but I give my children everything that they need. I buy them gifts. I buy them laptops. I get them cars. I pay for their food. I pay for everything. But the children respond and say, I don't want any of those things. What I want is you. We speak about how it is that a couple, that if a husband only buys gifts for his wife, but he does not show her love and offer himself to her, we say that this relationship is what? It is dysfunctional. Because in no relationship, is the real value of the relationship found in the monetary and material things that we offer. The greatest offering that can be given in any relationship is the gift of oneself. What is it that God is asking of us to give? You see, here it says in the psalm, give to the Lord the glory that is due to His name. And then we read from the letters that were written by Saint Irenaeus in the 2nd century. And he says that what? The glory of God is what? The human being, fully revealed, fully alive. The real glory of God is a human being that is fully alive in Him. God is glorified the more we become true humans. True humans. Not humans who are controlled by so many of the things that surround us. Not humans that are led by their stomach or led by their pride or led by their money or led by their envy and their greed. True humans who are free and alive in Christ. That is the glory of God. When we teach our children to offer, it's a beautiful thing. I remember being in Sunday school when I was much younger. and our parents would give us 25 cents. This is in the day when people actually carried money. Nobody carries money anymore. Everyone carries with them that plastic card that puts all of us in debt. We just tap it now, right? But a long time ago, when people actually carried money, we would give children 25 cents, 10 cents. And the Sunday school teachers used to have these little, what do you call them? In English. Are you in English to be? It's like a piggy bank. It's like where you collect money, where there's like a small slit on the top and then you put the money in it and then you would hear the cling as soon as you would put the 25 cents. And the Sunday school teachers would do this, why? Because they needed $1.25 to collect from the five children. Because they wanted to collect 5 cents and 10 cents because the church really needs to pay for the building. What is it that we were teaching the children? You have something to offer to God. But what is more important than the 25 cents? It's when we can teach children that we can offer to God our heart, our time, our energy, even our pain. Even our pain. I have a young man who confesses to me and he tells me, Abuna, my feet hurt at the end of the day. As if, yani, he's working 13 hours a day, Habibi. And he's coming and telling me, my feet hurt at the end of the day. It's difficult for me to stand up to pray at the end of the day. Is it okay if I pray while lying down? And it's a beautiful request coming from a beautiful little, a little child who tells the Lord, this is what I can give you. So he says, is it okay for me to pray while lying down? You see, the real response and what we ought to teach this little child is to say what? Habibi, stand. Stand for those 2 minutes, and it's okay for your feet to hurt. And as you stand before God, tell Him, Lord, even the pain that I feel, I offer it to You. It is for You that I stand in pain. It is for You and Your honor and Your worth that I am going to tolerate the next 2 minutes of pain in my ankles, in my knees, in my back, for You. If we can teach our children to offer even their littlest of pain and discomfort to God, what will our children do when they face much bigger sufferings in their life? Where they will be able to say, Lord, no matter what happens, no matter what comes my way, I offer it to You. Now, what does the Lord do when we offer Him these things? What does the Lord do when we offer to Him the little pain that we have, the little time that we have, the little energy that we have? What does He do with all of these 25 cent offerings that we give Him? According to the reading of the Gospel of today, we all know the story. The disciples told Him, we can't feed these people. You want to feed these people, but there's over 5,000 men, plus their wives, plus their children. There's tens of thousands of people. And we're nothing but 12 men. And we have nothing with us. There is no way we will be able to feed all of these thousands of people. And then one of the disciples says what? Well, we have something. There's a little boy who brought his lunch. 5 loaves and 2 fish. Now, Taman, when we imagine 2 fish, we think of Costco-sized fish. This is a little boy's lunch. It was probably the size of 2 sardines. 2 very small fish and 5 small morsels of bread. This is what they brought to the Lord. What did the Lord do with this small 25 cent offering? How many people were blessed because of it? How many people were fed because of it? How many baskets were left over from the blessing of this little offering? Sometimes we think, what is my prayer going to do? What is my service going to do? What is my offering going to do? It's no big deal. There are people who can offer so much more. If we think like this, then we fail to realize how many people can benefit, not from my offering, but from what the Lord is capable of doing with my offering. You see, my little offering is nothing. It's absolutely nothing. And we all know this and understand this. But in the hands of the Lord, that little offering, it could feed tens of thousands. It can bless tens of thousands. What amazes me in this story is the disciples were hesitant in the beginning. In the beginning, the disciples were telling him, "We have nothing. We are in a deserted place. There is no way we can do this." This is the same 12 disciples who saw the miracles. These are the same 12 disciples who saw him in doing all of the supernatural and divine works. And yet, they think that for him to create food is a problem. In their limitation and in their brokenness and in their blindedness, they tell him, "We have nothing." And they don't recognize that the creator of the universe is right in front of them. They forget. And so they give him it. They tell him, "Here, take the 5 loaves, take the 2 fish. How many baskets were left over? 12. How many disciples were there? 12. According to Saint Cyril of Alexandria, in his commentary, he says those 12 baskets were for those 12 disciples. The same ones who doubted him are the ones who walk away with the blessings. The same ones who questioned him are the same ones who receive his grace. Even if I give him my little offering and I tell him, "I don't know what you're going to do with this, but schud, watch him embarrass me and you. Iksifna. Iksifna mbahbitu. يكسفنا بنعمته برحمته ياخد الحاجات القليله اللي احنا بنقدمها ويحولها لبركه احنا عمرنا ما شفنا قد كده. We have never seen this magnitude of blessing. We have never seen his transformative power turn the little things that we offer into something so much bigger, so much greater. The problem is that I hesitate to offer because I think it's not needed, or even worse, I think that it's too inconvenient for me." The church reminds us on the 5th Sunday of every month that what the Lord desires the most is a real offering of glory, where we come to him and tell him, "Lord, the most broken thing, the most impoverished thing I have is my soul. Because my soul is bankrupt because of what I have done to it. My soul is bankrupt because of the sins that I have allowed to rule in me. But if I take this broken soul and I offer it to you, and I tell you, you be master, you be Lord, you be king of my life, then watch and see what he can do with your soul. Watch and see if he is not capable of transforming you and me into a blessing that will feed thousands, that will touch and change the lives of thousands. But there has to be an offering. Every liturgy, when you hear the deacon say, "Offer, offer, offer in order," close your eyes and offer. Close your eyes and offer. But offer that which is most needed. Offer your heart, offer him glory, offer him your life. And may the Lord, who was capable of taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and turning them into the most greatest of blessings that thousands benefited from, may he take from me my impoverished soul, my brokenness, the little that I can offer him, my 25 cents, and turn them into a great source of blessing, not only for me, but for all those who are around me. To God be all glory now and forever, and unto the ages of all ages. Amen.
This talk was brought to you by Upper Room Media. We hope that this talk has, through the grace of God, touched your heart, and we pray that it will not only inform you, but will also transform you and your life with Christ.